Okay, let us review Shabbos Daf Lamed Ches. There are three basic parts to today's Daf. The first part of the Daf discusses when Shehiyah is violated, what the status of the food is once Shehiyah has been violated. That's pretty much the entire Amud Aleph. The second part of the Daf, which is the top of Amud Beis, discusses the various conditions necessary to do Hachazara, to put food back on a heat source on Shabbos. And the third part of today's Daf discusses the difference between the three types of oven, a tanur, a kira, and a kupach. So at the beginning, the Gemara first discusses whether a person is allowed to eat food upon which Shehiyah was accidentally violated. Rav Chiya bar Abba says that whether Shehiyah was done b'shogeg or whether it was done b'mezid, the halacha is going to be the same, but he fails to tell us, he never explains whether that halacha is asr or mutter. He just tells us it doesn't make a difference whether it's shogeg or mezid. So that obviously gives rise to a machlokes. Rabba and Rav Yosef both understand that in either circumstance, whether shogeg or mezid, it is mutter. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak understands that in either circumstance, whether shogeg or mezid, it is aser. The Gemara accepts the opinion of Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak and rejects the opinion of Rabba and Rav Yosef. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak himself acknowledges that the halacha used to be that food that Shia was violated on is permitted when violated b'shogeg, but once the Chacham saw that people were violating Shehiyah b'mezid and claiming to have done it b'shogeg just so that they could eat their food, they were machmir even when done b'shogeg. So that's why we're so much more machmir by Shehiyah even than we are with real bishul d'oraisa, because people were violating Shehiyah purposely, claiming to have done so b'shogeg. As a tangential point, the Gemara asks a double contradiction and answers it. The Gemara asks that we have two brises, one in Daf Lamed Zayin, one in Daf Lamed Ches, where both Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda seem to contradict themselves. Rav Meir on Daf Lamed Zayin permitted Shehiyah only on hot water, but in the Brais on Daf Lamed Ches permits it even on food, on a Tavshil. And the Gemara says it's not a stira at all. The more permissive Braisa on Daf Lamed Zayin on Daf Lamed Ches speaks about a case of Bidiyavid where it was already done, whereas the stricter Braisa on Daf Lamed Zayin speaks about a case of Lechadchila, whether one is permitted to do it in the first place. The stira in Rabbi Yehuda is that Rabbi Yehuda on Daf Lamed Zayin permitted Shehiyah on both water and food. It's the reverse. On Daf Lamed Zayin, he permitted Shehiyah both water and food. But on Daf Lamed Ches, he's more mechmir and only permits Shehiyah for water, but not for food. And the Gemara says this also is not a stira, because the more lenient Braisa on Daf Lamed Zayin speaks about a case where it was garuf v'katam, whereas the more strict Braisa on Daf Lamed Ches, where Rabbi Yehuda only permits Shehiyah for water, is about speaking about a case where it was not garuf v'katam, where the flame was not covered in any way. The Gemara then tries to prove that if one willfully violated Shehiyah, that the food is asr based on a comment that Rabbi Yossi made when he came to a place where Shehiyah was violated, but the Gemara concludes that Rabbi Yossi may not have meant to prohibit the food b'di'aved. He may have just meant to say that this activity of violating Shehiyah may not be repeated the following Shabbos. That ends the discussion of Shehiyah. Then the Gemara moves on to discuss Hachazara. There is a machlokas, whether it's necessary for food to remain in your hands the entire time it's off the flame in order to enable you to put the food back on the flame. Do we require Oda biyado, that the food should remain in your hand? Rav Tadai requires Oda biyado. Rabbi Yochanan does not require Oda biyado, would even permit putting the food, hinicho al gabe karka, putting it on the ground and then putting it back on the flame afterwards. Now, even if one does require Oda biyado, there's a further machlokas whether Chizkiya said that one requires both Oda biyado and Daita Lachzira, the intention to put it back the entire time as well, or maybe Chizkiya would say, yes, you need Oda Biyado, that's if you don't have Daita Lachzira, but if you have Daita Lachzira, then Oda Biyado is not going to be necessary. The Gemara then leaves three questions about Hachzara unresolved with a teku, and the three questions are, number one, if the pot wasn't placed on the floor but was hung on a peg, is that considered Oda Biyado? Number two, if the pot was placed on a bed, is that considered Oda Biyado? And number three, if one moved the contents of the pot into a different pot, is it permissible to put the new pot back on the flame? All those three questions are left off with a teku, and the Gemara never resolves either of them. The final discussion of the daf is the differences between a tanur, a kira, and a kupach. The Mishnah says that a tanur has much stricter rules than the other types of ovens, in that you can't put anything on the tanur or inside of the tanur, even Minin if the Tanur is just fueled by very flammable material like Kashu Gavava. A Kupach would only be so strict if it was heated with more lasting fuel like Gefes and Eitzim. Abaye in the Gemara tries to prove that putting a pot near a Tanur, doing smicha on a Tanur by a Tanur, is Aser, against the opinion of his Rebbe Rav Yosef, who was Makil on smicha by a Tanur, but Abaye's proof is rejected, and Rav Yosef's Shita therefore still stands that it's permissible to do smicha by a tanur. Now, what exactly is the difference between a kupach and a kira and a tanur? So the kupach is hotter than a kira, but not as hot as a tanur. It is constructed in a similar manner to a kira, except it only has space for one pot on top, and therefore condenses the heat to a smaller area. The kira, on the other hand, has space for two pots on top, and therefore the heat is a little more spread out. And that's why the Gemara says, if a kira was tame and breaks along its width, it would still be usable as a double kupach, because it would now be two kupachs. And because it would still be usable, it would not become tar, it would retain its tumah. Whereas a kupach that breaks would no longer be usable, and therefore would become tar, because it would be considered to be completely shavur, completely broken.